caring for an aging loved one? Are you a senior searching for answers? Welcome to Senior Care Live, a program dedicated to you, providing information, education, and resources for seniors and their caregivers. And now, America's Senior Care Consultant, Steve Keeker.
Hello and welcome to Senior Care Live. I'm Steve Keeker, your Senior Care Consultant, and I really appreciate you tuning in today. And we have an awesome show on tap. I'm going to cover a lot of super, super important information today and wanted to start off with discussing Medicaid. And I've talked about it actually recently, and I just barely touched on it. I thought, you know what, I need to go back and go down into a lot more depth and really just cover that, and I think proactively answer a lot of questions that may exist out in the market. So let's talk about Medicaid today. First of all, it is financial assistance for health care and your prescription costs. It is a federal program. So just think, you know, the overarching Medicaid program, it's federal money, but, and it's a federal program, but it is administered at the state level. So there's federal money that pours into each state, and then each state administers the Medicaid program, and there could be some slight differences. And some of these differences could make a huge, huge impact on your planning and your decisions that you may make. I'll explain that in a little bit. Do not confuse or interchange the word Medicaid with Medicare. They are two very different things. Just think of Medicare, and I'm not going to go into anything on Medicare today, but Medicare is your health insurance. That's it. I mean, Medicare is your health insurance, and it is health insurance, and that's it. So, and Medicaid is a completely different thing. And we're going to talk about what Medicaid is and how you can qualify for Medicaid, what it'll pay for, et cetera, et cetera. So let's jump into this today. And I'm talking about Medicaid relative to paying for long-term care. It pays for a lot of other stuff. But I want to talk about, you know, how you qualify for Medicaid and how much it'll pay and all of that relative to needing to move to long-term care. You might refer to that as skilled nursing, the health center. Some people still call it a nursing home. I just generally call it long-term care. It's that highest level of care. It's the medical model, okay? So what you have to do is look at it from a financial perspective. This is a very, very simple to determine how you're going to qualify for this. So you look at your assets, and you have two columns. You have an exempt asset column, and you have a countable asset column. And the reason that we need to know about this is we're going to determine the amount of our countable assets, and they're going to have to be spent down to a certain number. Then once you hit that number, it triggers your qualification for Medicaid. So what is exempt? Your house is exempt for now. Okay. And do I want to get into all of this? So a lot of people, well, I'm going to have to sell the house. We're going to have to sign the house over to the nursing home before. No. If anyone tells you that, they are very clearly demonstrating that they have no clue how this stuff works. They have no idea what they're talking about. You do not have to sign your house over to anyone. The nursing home does not want to own your house. Trust me. That's not the business they're in. So your house is exempt. You don't have to sell it. Now, you're probably going to want to sell it in a little while, but you don't have to worry about that right now. The car, one vehicle, is exempt. A prepaid funeral plan, a fantastic idea, by the way, is exempt. A small amount of cash value in a life insurance policy is exempt. Very small amount. And all the household stuff, all the stuff in your house, exempt. Now, that prepaid funeral plan is really, really important. So your money is going to be spent down, and then once you hit these numbers that I'm going to share with you here in just a moment, you qualify. Well, an incredibly smart thing to do, a savvy thing to do, is to take some of your money and invest it into a prepaid funeral plan. So, and here I go. I'm getting ahead of myself again. So we have exempt assets, your house. I'm a little ADD today. So we have your house, your car, prepaid funeral plan, life insurance, small amount of cash value in a small life insurance plan, and the stuff in your house. What is countable? What is countable is almost everything else. Think liquid assets. Checking, savings, money market, mutual fund, CDs, 401ks, IRAs, all the stuff. Think liquid assets. That is countable. So we have our exempt assets, take them off the table, countable assets, all the liquid assets. Now, why is it important to do that? Well, now we have our countable assets. Now we know where we are. So let's say we have a single person and their countable assets total up to $50,000. I'm just making up a number here. Okay, and then you are going to spend that money down to very under $10,000. Okay, very little money left. And then once you hit these triggers, then you'll qualify. So you're going to go from $50,000, and here are the triggers, at least here from where I'm broadcasting in the Kansas City metro area. On the Kansas side, once you are down to $2,000, that is the trigger. Boom, you're in. You're qualified. On the Missouri side of the Kansas City metro area, $5,909. And at that point, boom, you're in. You're qualified for Medicaid. Now, obviously, we broadcast nationally, so I've looked at a lot of other states, and all the numbers are very similar. I mean, you're basically broke. Okay, you hardly have any money left. So it's as simple as that. Exempt assets, take them off the table. Countable assets, add them up. Whatever that number is, you're going to spend it down to that state Medicaid trigger. Kansas is $2,000, Missouri is $5,909, and you qualify. It's as simple as that. It is super straightforward. Now, let's talk about that spend down for a second. What are you going to spend that money on? Well, you're going to pay for your care. So you move into long-term care. You're going to pay that monthly bill for your care. You can, if you have a few debts, you can use some of your spend down money to pay off your debts. You can even make some home improvements on that house that is an exempt asset. That's pretty cool. You could buy a prepaid funeral plan, and I would encourage you to absolutely do that. Think about this. In Kansas, you spend down to $2,000, and then you qualify for Medicaid. Now you're literally just about out of money. And then you pass away. Well, an average funeral, I think the number used to be $10,000. It may be closer to $15,000 now. Let's say it's $10,000, and you have $2,000 that can go toward that. Your family's going to have to come up with several thousand dollars just for your final expenses. So what you can do is use some of that money, again, to pay for your care, pay off some debts, et cetera, et cetera. And then use some of that, invest some of that in a prepaid funeral plan. Take your final expenses off the table. What you're doing is you're taking a countable asset that has to be spent on care and some of these other things, and you're converting it to an exempt asset. Does that make sense? So to not do that, I think, is just crazy. Yeah, you're really missing an opportunity to save your family a lot of money. Now, I realize there's cremation. There's some other things that are much, much less expensive. You might be able to get that done for a couple of thousand. But I'm just saying it makes sense. Take some of the money and invest it in a prepaid funeral plan, and you won't I don't think you'd ever regret that. So the other thing you could do is you could buy a new car. Now, I don't know why you'd want to do that because you're living in a nursing home. You're probably not driving around. Okay. But those are some of the things you can do with that. So again, to qualify for Medicaid, you have to divide your assets into two different categories: exempt assets, house, car, prepaid funeral plan, small amount of cash value in a life insurance policy and all of the stuff in your house. And then you have your countable assets. Think liquid assets, checking, savings, money market, mutual funds, CDs, 401ks, IRAs, all of that. Add that up. Whatever that number is, you'll spend it down to very, very little, and then you are in. You would qualify for Medicaid. So after the break, I'm going to talk about some of the other important aspects of Medicaid. You don't want to miss that. First, Senior Care Live question of the week. Medicaid will fully pay for the assisted living level of care. Is that statement true or false? What do you think?
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Now back to the Senior Care Live question of the week. Medicaid will fully pay for the assisted living level of care. Is that statement true or false? And the answer is false. The answer is false. And I think there may be a few exceptions for some similar levels of care. In general, that's a false statement. All right. However, I guess that's the bad news. The good news is they'll pay all day, every day for long-term care, the nursing home level. So at least there is an option there. And basically that's because long-term care is a medical model. Assisted living is not a medical model. It's a social model. They'll pay for your support services and that sort of thing in some states, not all. But they won't pay for the room and board, the apartment. They're not going to pay for that, which, again, I think it's crazy. So, all right, let's get back on track. So we're talking about Medicaid today, how it works. We talked about a single person. We divided our assets into exempt assets and countable assets. We totaled up the countable assets. You spend them down to a very low number, and then you qualify. But what happens if you are not a single person? What happens if you are a married couple? And let's say the husband needs long-term care and the wife does not. Now we just got way more complicated, a lot more complicated. So let's say that you count up all of the exempt assets, it's 200,000. Excuse me, the non-exempt assets. At the countable assets, right? The countable assets, the liquid assets. We have $200,000. And so in theory, let's say we put half of them. You do this thing called the division of assets. And by the way, you need a good elder law attorney to do this properly. Don't trust anyone else to do this. No offense to anyone else, but I would not do that. It's the best money you'll ever spend. Okay, go to NAELA.org, the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys. And then you type in your city, your zip code, and then there will be a list of specialists, of elder law attorneys in your area. Make sure that they practice elder law 100% of the time. And they've been in business for a long time. Probably can't go wrong there, but that's what I would do. So you have this division of assets. Let's say we have 200,000 of countable assets. Put half on his side, half on her side, and then her side is her side. So, you know, back in the day, a long time ago, couples actually used to get divorced. They still stayed together, but they got divorced so that they could split up the assets to protect part of the assets for the at-home spouse, what is considered the community spouse. Well, that's a horrible thing to do. Someone in Congress said, hey, why can't we just do that on paper? Why would we make someone go through a divorce just to get that done? We can just do that on paper. So that's what we have, the division of assets here. So now on his side, in this example, we have $100,000. We're going to spend that down to, again, in Kansas, $2,000, Missouri, $5,909. Most of the other states are similar numbers. There's hardly any money left. Again, you can pay for your care at the nursing home. You can pay off some debts. Now, you can fix up the house. And remember, that house is an exempt asset for now. So let's say that the wife is living in the house and the house needs $10,000 worth of roof repair, maybe replacement, or $5,000 for a new air conditioner, or whatever the case may be, you can spend some of his money on that exempt asset on the house. It's a smart thing to do. Again, by prepaid funeral plan, I would do that in about 2 seconds. You can buy a nicer, newer car. So let's say your wife is at home. She's driving the cash for clunkers, right? She's driving the 14-year-old car. Still great, but you want to upgrade the car to be a more dependable means of transportation because she's going to come every day to see you. Okay, you could do that from his side of the ledger, so to speak. Okay, and then if you work with a qualified elder law attorney, I'm not getting into the weeds on this one. I'll have some attorneys on here in the near future, and they can explain it better than I can. But they can take part of his spend down and turn that into an income stream for the spouse and take you all the way down real fast. It's legal to do. You have to know how to do it. You're going to invest that in a single premium immediate annuity. You and I can't just go out and just buy one off the shelf. These are written with state-specific verbiage, if you will, in the contract per state law. You need to hire an elder law attorney. What if you paid an elder law attorney $10,000 to help you do this to protect $80,000 in this example, or $90,000? Is it worth it? I would say, yeah. Anytime you can spend 10 to protect 80 or 90, probably a pretty good deal. Don't do it on your own. Don't have someone at the long-term care community try to do this. That's not their forte, their specialty. It just isn't. I'm sorry, but it isn't. So that's what I would do. So you have this division of assets, and you've been able to protect at least quite a bit for the at-home community spouse. Now, how does Steve, I have this income that comes in every month. Does that mean that I go over the $2,000 or $5,909, whatever the number is, and I get kicked off every month? No, that is your income. That's a whole separate deal. That's a separate situation. So the way the income works for the spouse needing the care, going into long-term care, you look at their total monthly income. Right off the top, you take enough to pay for their Medicare premiums. Okay, and that could be $100 or $200 a month, or maybe even more than that. And then you get to keep a little bit. So in the state of Kansas, it's called a personal needs allowance. You get to keep a whopping $62 a month. Woo woo! Don't spend it all in one place. Okay, in the state of Missouri, you get to keep a whopping $50 a month for a Snickers bar and a Diet Coke once in a while. That's it. Whatever is left over on your income, whether that's $3,000 or $300, whatever is left after you pay your Medicare premiums, keep up your health insurance, and after you keep a couple of bucks, whatever is left, the balance of your income, goes to the nursing home they call it a patient liability. I like to speak in English. It's a copay. That's your copay every month. And then the Medicaid program pays them the difference. It's that simple. Very, very simple. And even the long-term care community, the nursing home, they even have a contribution to this model. Because let's say their retail rate is, I'm just making up some numbers here, is $350 a day, but they're willing to accept what Medicaid will pay them, which is $300 a day. They'll write off the other $50. So the nursing home has a daily discount. The individual pays what they can pay after they pay for their Medicare premiums and keep a couple of bucks. Medicaid pays the bulk of that. That's how that works. That's exactly how it works. I would reach out to a local elder law attorney, naela.org, to find a great one in your area. Don't go away. I'll have much more coming right up.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. Stick around. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
All right, so I'm going to shift gears here and talk about the most frequently asked question that I have been asked since about 2002. How about that? That's a long time ago. But I'm asked this question all the time. So here's the question. Steve, when should we consider moving from our home to a senior care community? When should we do that? We don't want to move too soon. We want to stay at home as long as possible. I certainly understand that. We don't want to wait too long. We've heard a lot of the horror stories that you've shared on the radio about that and just having to all of a sudden make this knee-jerk reaction and just pick a place and hope it works out. We don't want to do that either. We want to get it right. So the way I answer, sometimes it's just painfully obvious. There's no doubt. Oh, boy. Yeah, we need to move. And I would say way more often than not, it is not so obvious at all. It falls in some of the gray areas. So I like to say the following thing should trigger the conversation of considering moving from your home to a senior care community. So number one, when it is no longer safe to live at home. So we have a safety issue, and it's it could be kind of a minor safety issue. It could be a red alert safety issue, okay? Leaving the stovetop burners on. That's just about, I think, maybe the most common one I've heard. And a lot of these are related to having dementia or just being forgetful, some memory loss, that sort of thing. So when it is no longer safe to live at home, you leave your stovetop burners on. Now we have a fire risk. And I've heard of some near misses. Just terrible near misses. That's easy to fix, too, though, if it's an electric stove or range. You just flip the breaker, click, and you disable it. Or you can unplug it if it plugs into the wall. I discovered my electric stove and range and oven, it literally hardwired. I'm like, oh, Lord, that's not good. But unplug the thing. Flip the breaker. If it's gas, usually there's a shutoff valve coming in, very near where the appliance is. Wandering away and can't find your way back home. Oh, boy, this one's really common as well. I'm just going to go out for a walk. And you go out and walk around the block, and all of a sudden, things are just not looking quite right and a little confusing. And you're like, oh, boy, I'm a little bit lost now. And again, this is related to having dementia, and God bless them. You get a little bit confused. You may even go out for a drive, which is really, I think, a lot more scary and dangerous. You're driving around. First of all, you probably shouldn't be driving at that point. And you drive away, and now the streets aren't looking as familiar as they once did. And you're like, oh, where am I? And you get lost. You may even drive to another state. And that's why we have all of these silver alerts popping up all over the place now. Someone walked away or drove away, and they're missing. We need to find them. Usually, it has a happy ending. Unfortunately, sometimes it does not. That's a big, big safety issue. Number three, experiencing malnutrition and dehydration because they're not able to cook for themselves, or maybe they're eating, junk food all the time. They're not drinking. They're not keeping their hydration up, especially here in the summer. Super important. Unsanitary living conditions due to neglect or just the inability to keep everything up. Injured at home, frequent falls, frequent hospitalizations. That one's pretty obvious. This one flies under the radar, but it's super important, a major safety issue. Not taking your medications properly, maybe not taking them on time, maybe not taking them at all. Okay, you're skipping a dose or skipping a day. That's a huge issue. And then, of course, the terrible ones, which I just can't stand, elder financial abuse, or maybe even physical abuse or emotional or mental abuse. when it's no longer safe to live at home, that absolutely has to trigger the conversation of considering moving from home to a senior care community. Number two, I would call this a really close to, maybe even a 1A, when the caregiver's health and well-being are in decline. We're talking about your mental health, your emotional health, your spiritual health, and of course, your physical health. So when you are a caregiver and you're just pouring yourself into this person that you love so much, your spouse, your parent, whoever this person is, and I see this happen a lot, an elderly spouse caring for an elderly spouse. I think that's when this is most prevalent. What you do, you're trying to do your best. We have the heroic caregiver happening here. You place your own needs second. Your own needs are placed on the back burner. And you skip your own doctor's appointment and dental appointments. You skip social events like the book club with the ladies, the coffee and donuts with the guys telling fishing stories in the donut shop on Friday morning. You stop going to church. You just kind of back out of everything and you become isolated. And then the stress starts just piling on and you never get a break. You never get a break from it. And then you're just being crushed by the stress. I can't tell you how many times I've seen or heard about the caregiver passing away from the stress of it all before the person they're caring for. And by allowing that to happen, you have completely defeated the purpose. Now you're not here to care for your loved one. This person that you sacrificed everything for, you put all of your own needs on the back burner. Now you're not here to make sure they're getting good care and to watch over them and to make sure that they're getting everything that they need and deserve. Stress is a very, very powerful force. You can't let that happen. Oh, no, I've got it. But if you can clearly see with your own eyes they don't have it, you may have to have an intervention. Don't let this person suffer with their health and maybe possibly even pass away before the person they're caring for. It's unnecessary and it is avoidable. You may have to step in on that one. Okay, number three, when to consider moving from your home to senior care community when the cost of in-home care becomes maybe just unaffordable. I'm a huge fan of home care services, huge fan. But, and you could bring in home care support for, you know, maybe 4 to 6 hours a day for a couple of days a week, 2 or 3 days. The caregiver gets a full break. They get to go out and have lunch with their friends, get their hair cut, go to the doctor's office, just get a break, take a deep breath and recharge and come back in. It's unbelievably helpful for the caregiver. And for the person receiving the care, they get to visit with a different person. And that's good too. This is a positive thing. But when the need rises to that level of 24 hours, okay, we're talking some big time expenses. We're talking $35 to $40 an hour. Do the math on that. That's too expensive for a lot of folks if you had to pay for that for very long. That should trigger the conversation of considering moving maybe to assisted living. And instead of paying $15,000, $25,000, $30,000 a month, maybe you could spend $7,000 a month to get 24-hour care in the assisted living level. Okay, now, it's not the same. It's not one-on-one, but it's a cost-effective alternative at some point. At some point, the math just doesn't add up. And then last but not least, when the care you provide is just not enough, why not consider changing your role from being the caregiver, that hands-on care provider, to the care manager? Meaning, let's go out, let's find a great care provider, and then you can stop being the caregiver and return to your traditional role as the loving spouse, the loving son or daughter. In my case, the loving grandson. Okay, if you have any questions about any of this, if you need help exploring your options at the facility level, give us a call at Senior Care Consulting. We offer a free consultation, 913-945-2800, or visit online at seniorcareconsulting.com. Don't go away. I have so much more for you right around the corner.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. To contact Steve or a guest on his show, visit seniorcarelive.com. We'll have more coming up.
So, we've considered moving from our home to senior care community. You listen to your old pal Steve, and you're going to be proactive, not reactive. Isn't that right? Yes. Okay. So, seriously, oh my gosh, don't put it off until it becomes a crisis. You are going to be so sorry that you didn't be a little more proactive on that. Trust me on that, folks. Just trust me on that. Okay, so now you've made the decision to move. What to determine before ever even thinking about conducting your search? Don't do the old shotgun approach of, well, there's this place over here and so-and-so mentioned this one, and there's a new one that just popped up on the way to work, and just go out and just start looking at places. That you are wasting your time. You need to know what you're looking for and then have a targeted, focused list, and then go out and see the places that will actually meet your needs so you're not wasting time. Let me put it in perspective. The average person spends, or maybe family, could be one person, 50 to 100 hours running around looking at all these places, trying to do their homework. They're trying to do their best to get it right. 50 to 100 hours. That's why senior care consulting clients spend about 4 hours, and they are all about it. They love it. It's a major, major time saver because we do most of the work for you. If you're doing this on your own, what to determine before beginning your search? You need to know what level of care you will need. Well, what do you mean, Steve? Level of care? Level of care. Here's how I look at it. It's related to your licensure, the licensure of the provider. So if you provide hands-on care, you must be licensed in the state of wherever you're providing that care. And then the licensure dictates what you must provide and all of the parameters and limitations and all the staffing and all the stuff. Okay, so levels of care, long-term care, that's the medical model, that's the highest level, that's the nursing home, health center, skilled nursing, wherever you want to call it. Long-term care is a level of care. It's the highest one. Then you have assisted living that occupies a wide lane. They can help you minimally or fully with your bathing, dressing, grooming, toileting. They offer some incontinence support to a point. They manage your medications. They provide hydration, snacks, all of that. There's a full slate of activities for meaningful social engagement. Doctors make house calls. They actually come into the community, essentially making a house call. There's transportation if you want to use an outside doctor or go see a specialist. There's a lot of support there. It's just not medical in nature, per se. Do you need the residential care level of care? Do you need the home plus level of care? Intermediate care facility, ICF, do you need that? You have to determine, you have to figure out what you need and then where you fit in that line, in that list of levels of care. Long-term care, assisted living, residential care, home plus, and intermediate care facility, ICF. All right, number two, what type of care do you need? So here's how I break it out. General care, just everyday general care. Do you need memory care? That's a special type of care for someone with cognitive impairment. There's a lot that goes into that. You may not need it now. You may need it later. You may need it now. Okay, you have to determine all these things. Do you need skilled nursing and rehab? Do you need mental health care or hospice care or respite care? So we need to know our level of care and then the type of care. And then the big elephant in the room, how are we going to pay for this stuff? It's expensive. So you have your payment methods, private pay. That means you're writing a check. You're using your own resources to pay for your care. And then you have Medicare, you have Medicaid, long-term care insurance, which I think the number is about 7% of those who will require long-term care actually has a long-term care insurance policy. We need to get that number way up. Are you a veteran or the spouse, the surviving spouse of a deceased veteran? What about the VA aid and attendance benefit? Need to figure all of that out. Location parameters. We all want to be as close as possible so it's convenient to go visit our loved one. The better question is, how far are you willing to drive to receive the best care? That's the much better question. And then any personal preferences and needs. So that's something very, very specific. You know, most of my clients don't have something that specific. Once in a while we do, though. So I had a gentleman recently, Steve, mother's played piano. She's played that piano for 70 years, long time. It's just part of her DNA. It's hardwired into her at this point. She cannot do without her piano. Can you find a place that will allow us to take her small piano and put it in her apartment? She needed the assisted living level at that point. So I had to make sure that the top options that we're going to tour and gather information on for them to consider would accept her piano. Most places did. Some places did not. Okay. I had another person saying, you know, my mother, if it has a beak on it, forget it. Do not ever serve her fowl, right? She won't complain. She won't eat a turkey sandwich or a scrambled egg or whatever. No one would ever know that. So you have to speak up. So your level of care, your type of care, your payment methods, location, personal preferences and needs. Once you have that determined, then and then only should you begin your search and go out and then find the top places that check all of the boxes. Otherwise, I'm just telling you, you are wasting your time, and that contributes to that 50 to 100 hours. If it sounds overwhelming, it is. If it sounds really complex, like Steve, you just turn that into a great big complex equation, and I was just going to go look at some places. Well, it's a complex equation because if you want to do it right, that it is a complex equation. Okay. If you're like, all right, I'm out. I need some help with that. If you want to reach out to my firm, Senior Care Consulting, we help families and individuals every single day through the search and selection process. The first thing, guess what we do? The first thing, we conduct a proprietary geriatric care assessment. We have a 6-page worksheet. We ask all of the questions necessary to determine, guess what? The level of care you'll need, the type of care you need, the payment methods. We go through all the financials, location parameters, personal preferences and needs. And that's our starting point. And then we research the entire marketplace, not just a short list of our buddies. Okay, we research the entire marketplace and determine our top providers that check all the boxes that meet our exact needs. Then we'll go out with you together, and we will we'll go out and we'll take a tour of each place. I am a former nursing home and assisted living administrator. I think I look at this differently. I ask a lot of questions that most of my clients would never know to ask. Gather critical information. When we're done, it only takes about 3 or 4 hours and we're finished. And then I produce a report to help you make an informed decision. If that's resonating with you, if you're like, wait a minute, I got my hand up, I need help, 913-945-2800 or visit online at seniorcareconsulting.com. We'll offer a free consultation. Let's talk about that. We can definitely help. All right, I'm Steve Kuecker, and I wish you grace and peace. May God bless you and your family on this day and always. Join me next week right here on Senior Care Live.